It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here in the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, candidates are down to the wire with just 6 days left until midterm elections. We'll talk last-minute strategy during our weekly look at Congress with Paul Singer.
First, we're talking about a new report on jobs in the Wisconsin economy. Since 2000, low-wage jobs have grown faster than any other wage category in the Badger State. That growth accelerated in the year since 2010, when the state was recovering from the Great Recession.
Mark Levine is with us to break down this report and talk about what it says about Wisconsin's economy. He's a professor of history, economic development, and urban studies at UW-Milwaukee. He's the lead author of the report we're talking about. It's titled, Is Wisconsin Becoming a Low-Wage Economy? Mark, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, when we're talking low-wage jobs, what is the pay range here and what kind of jobs are we talking about?
Well, we define low-wage jobs as jobs paying under $12.50 an hour. Other studies will use different definitions. That's, I think, a reasonable, plausible one. It's a fairly low one. If you charted that out to an annual wage, it would be somewhere in the neighborhood of $26,000 a year. And so we've got low-wage jobs under $12.50. We've got middle-wage jobs as $12.50 to $25, and then high-wage jobs at $25 an hour and above. And what we found is that since 2000, and particularly accelerating in the post-Great Recession 2010 to 2013 period, a really substantial kind of reweighting of the job structure, of the occupational structure in Wisconsin toward the low end, that we've seen a growth in jobs like fast food cooks and waiters and waitresses, food preparation workers, generally child care workers, all earning, in many cases, not only under $12.50 an hour, but under $10 an hour, which we break down in the study as very low-wage jobs. So those jobs have grown. And then what we've also found is that jobs that were sort of somewhat above that $12.50 threshold between low and middle-wage jobs, jobs that were paying, you know, between $12.50, $13.50 an hour, a goodly number of those jobs have dropped below $12.50 in their inflation-adjusted wages. Jobs that helpers for production workers, nursing assistants, landscaping and groundskeeping jobs, and so the loss of sort of middle-tier status for some of those jobs has augmented, if you will, the number of low-wage jobs. That, combined with the rapid growth of other low-wage jobs, has meant we're increasingly becoming a low-wage economy.
So a double whammy. We're losing some of those middle jobs, getting more of the low ones, and some of the jobs that used to be in that middle have slipped to the low end of the spectrum.
Precisely. Wow.
So you said this trend started in 2000, but what happened in the crash and the beginning of the Great Recession?
Well, the recession, of course, obliterated jobs in all wage categories. So if you look at the three tiers that we analyze in the study, wage loss occurred in all three categories, although the vast number of jobs vastly largest share of jobs that were lost in the Great Recession were in the middle tier category. Over 90% of the jobs that were lost came from that category. So I think, you know, the shaking out that occurred during the recession obviously exacerbated, if you will, the long-term trend toward the polarization of the Wisconsin labor market. But then what's happened since the recession is that all of the net job growth has occurred in Wisconsin, and we're not unique in this. There's a study in Ohio that sort of says the same thing, and there's a national study that shows more or less the same thing in the national labor market. All of the net growth since 2010 has been in the low-wage category, about 130,000 jobs created in the low-wage occupations. Continued losses in the middle-tier category, but what's been the big difference in the post-2010 period is that we've continued to lose jobs in the high-wage occupations. That wasn't the case earlier. Earlier, we had what economists call the polarization of the labor market, growth at the high end, growth at the low end, and a hollowing out, if you will, at the middle, which kind of corresponds to the level of inequality we're kind of seeing in American society. The post-2010 period, to borrow an expression from another economist, is not so much a polarization but a downward ramp in which the vast majority of the jobs that are created are effectively the low-wage jobs. So that's the big change. And I think, you know, to sort of answer your question about why, you know, we don't really know, and I think we need to do more research to find that out. But we do know that there are certain things that obviously in the long run have contributed to this trend, and perhaps they've simply exacerbated it in the post-2010 period.
Well, one story we sometimes hear when we talk about this topic is a decline in higher-paying manufacturing jobs. Those workers or the people who would have taken those jobs going into service sector jobs, and those manufacturing jobs being lost either to foreign competition, outsourcing, or various forms of mechanization, meaning the same factory requires a tenth the number of workers. Is that, do you think, part of the story behind this research?
Right. I mean, certainly automation is probably part of this. Offshoring is certainly part of the general trend. I mean, it's part of the general trend of the stagnation in real wages in Wisconsin that's occurred over not just since 2000, but even starting in the 1990s after trade agreements, which severely undermined in many cases the manufacturing sector in Wisconsin. There aren't too many, helpers and production workers dropped into the low-wage category. There aren't too many of those manufacturing jobs that have dropped into the low-wage category, but I think your point about the possibility of what we call occupational skidding, downward mobility of workers losing their manufacturing jobs, not being able to find equally paying jobs either in the service sector or other manufacturing jobs and then dropping down into the lower tier, certainly explains a part of this. And then the other part is that while a lot of those manufacturing jobs haven't become what we would call low-wage jobs, real wages in many of the sectors in Wisconsin manufacturing are dropping, which is sort of counterintuitive because we keep hearing about skills gap and the need for workers, and that would usually, if you think there's a labor shortage, would bid up wages. But in a wide range of manufacturing occupations that we looked at, real wages have been declining for the last two decades, and they continued to decline between 2010 and 2013. Welders, for example, which we hear about as being in shortage, so their real wages declined by 5% between 2010 and 2013. CNC machinists, same sort of thing. So I do think the decline in manufacturing is a piece of this, as well as obviously the rise of those low-paying service sector jobs, particularly in the personal care and home health services sector.
Mark, as part of your study, you cite, I think, state predictions that these low-income jobs are going to be the fastest-growing jobs. So looking at the impact of this, if this trend continues or even just plateaus where it is now, it seems like this has got to be somewhat bad news for Wisconsin's economy, tax revenues, a lot of things.
Yeah, I think it's a serious issue. I mean, I think it's one we clearly, need to grapple with and consider policy solutions. And I think there are a number of things that obviously, we need to look at. Labor market institutions. I mean, certainly the role of unions in the past in bolstering wages has been important. Those have obviously the ability of unions to influence wages has certainly come under siege in this state as it has across the country. The lagging value of the minimum wage. I mean, there's a notion of kind of raising the floor. If you raise the floor, then you can kind of push wages up throughout the, occupational structure. Human capital development, education, skills development is always going to be part of the equation to continue to enhance the ability of people to achieve upward mobility. But we really need to make major decisions in those areas because, as you mentioned, I pulled the data from the Department of Workforce Development's projections of which sectors are going to be growing, creating the most new jobs, or their predictions of which sector is going to be creating the most new jobs in the next decade or so, and they are overwhelmingly those low-wage jobs that have been spearheading the low-wage occupational growth of the previous decade. So unless we do something differently in the policy realm, we're likely to see these same economic results occurring in the next decade.
Mark, briefly, as we wrap up, we're in election season. We hear about raw jobs numbers a lot. But do you think lawmakers, candidates are talking about the issue you're raising here about the growth of low-income jobs?
Well, I don't think it's been the top job, the top issue on the economic policy discussion agenda during the campaign. It's come up a bit in the discussion of the minimum wage. Governor Walker obviously claiming the minimum wage doesn't serve a purpose, which I think given these data suggests that he may be wrong on that. Certainly, Mary Burke favors increasing the minimum wage from $7.25 to $10.10 an hour. I would argue that's probably a good step, but it's certainly not enough, and there are other communities around the country. Chicago is now in the process, for example, Illinois, of raising over a period of time the minimum wage perhaps to $13 an hour. Seattle just passed a $15 an hour minimum wage. I think the issue certainly could be talked about a lot more. Hopefully after this election it will become an important policy issue for the legislature to take up, because we really do need to act on this issue.
We'll leave it there for now. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
That's Mark Levine, professor of history, economic development, and urban studies at UW-Milwaukee, joining us to talk about his new report showing a rapid increase in low-wage jobs and not so much in the middle and upper-income jobs.